Genesis 4, starting in verse 5. And we've already learned that God had respect of Abel's offering, for it complied with his word. And his word required an offering of blood. God was bringing to mind immediately upon the fall that there was an offering coming that would cover the sins that were brought about by the decision in the garden. So we learn of Cain's response to God's respect of Abel's offering in Genesis 4, 5 through 7. For Cain had chosen to give an offering from the fruit of the ground. You know, if God says, this pleases me, then that which you should do is what pleases him. And not say, well, I think he'll be pleased by this, which is what Cain chose to do. But the response from God was this, but Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now in God's rebuke of Cain, God pointed out the standard he had set, but Cain instead compared himself to his brother. You know, the Bible says we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves because it's not wise. And one thing that I've learned about the Scriptures is they teach wisdom. God wants wise children. He provides for wise children. And when he says comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise, pay attention to that. We do that all the time. We look at the other members of the body of Christ and we place ourselves on some sort of scale between the members of the body of Christ. That's like the kidney saying to the foot, I have more importance than you. And when in reality, what could you do without a kidney? What could you do without a foot? They're all needed in the body of Christ. But Cain compared himself to his brother, for his brother received the respect of God, and he did not. You know, you think about teachers, and we used to call the little children teachers' pets. If they seemed to get more response from the teacher or notice from the teacher, not realizing that perhaps these children were obedient, and we were nasty. We were bad boys, you know? So why didn't we get the attention? Because we weren't obedient. But he did not. He didn't get the respect. He saw his brother receive notice, but he did not see the why of that notice. And it concerned obedience to God's word. You know, it is so prevalent to be judged by others as to the blessings received from God, not received because of favoritism, but because of obedience. I don't get the blessings from God because of favoritism. I get the blessings from God because of obedience to His Word. Simply obey God and be blessed. You know, God says it so simply. It's not complicated. It's the world that wants to complicate things like this. Oh, how they delve and they delve and they delve and get so complicated But God says simply, believe me and obey my word. So Cain's response was not a reasonable response, which God inferred when he asked, why art thou wroth? It's almost like he asks in surprise, you know, why are you wroth? Why are you angry? It's almost to show that Cain, why are you responding this way, Cain? Don't you understand things? It's simple. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, just obey me and respect will come your way. Why do you kick against the pricks of truth? Remember on the road to Damascus, Jesus asked that of Paul. Why are you kicking against the pricks? You know, you're jabbed with a sharp stick. Well, you repel from it. But in this case, you go towards it. And what happens? You get a deeper prick. Why do you kick against the pricks of truth? For in that response, you are always wounded. But that's the world's way. Here's truth. Kick against it, and you get hurt, and you get wounded. We learn, as Peter learned from Acts 10:34, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, no respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of obedience. He's a respecter of obedience. I mean, just look at his word. Obey his word and blessings will come, regardless of whether you are a Cain or an Abel. You know, an unsaved person can obey God's word and they'll be blessed. They'll be blessed. Unfortunately, Cain paid no attention to this instruction, for Cain's heart was far from God, and therefore hatred built up against the one in whom God had respect. He hated his brother because his brother had respect. Why didn't I get respect? Why did you get respect? My offering was just as good as yours. No, it wasn't. You didn't obey God. This is the way of the world. And this hatred continues in Cain's offspring, for those who walk in the way of Cain still hate truth and the messengers of truth. Did you hear about the bombing in Egypt of the Christians? Was that in response to the bombing in Syria? I don't know. But the world hates the truth. Now, from our study of chapter 4 of Genesis, it is obvious that both sons of Adam and Eve knew of the requirements of the Word of God regarding sacrifices. Both knew of the skins that God had made their parents after the fall, skins used to cover their nakedness. Remember, in the garden, they were naked. They didn't know what naked was. There was no understanding of that in their innocence. But when they fell, oh, we're naked, we must cover ourselves. But their covering was not satisfied, for there was a need to have a God-chosen covering to replace the man-chosen covering of fig leaves. This, of course, is symbolic of that which is needed to cover man's nakedness from God, to cover man's sin. And in this, the seed is planted that the only covering satisfying to our Father is the blood of His Son, a covering provided not by man, but by God. You know, you can't cover your sins. You can't. You can dive into the deepest ocean and hide from God. You can go into the caves and hide from God, trying to cover your sin, but no covering will suffice. Only God's chosen covering will suffice. But Cain chose otherwise, for he brought to God the fruit of his hands, a bloodless offering, and was rebuked by God for his obedience and with God asking him, why are you angry? Why are you angry? Do right and obey, and it will go well with you. Now, that ought to be on the kitchen wall of every kitchen. Do right and obey, and it will go well with you. You know, raise your children that way. Do right and obey, and it will go well with you. And that's what God is telling him. But Cain was not about to listen to the counsel of God, and his anger boiled in his soul, resulting in this latter confrontation with his brother Abel. Cain rejected God's counsel and soon learned of the consequences of that rejection. You know, that's what happens. You reject God's counsel and consequences will come. If you reject God's counsel, you will soon learn of that rejection. For we read in Genesis 4, 8 through 15, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? And slew him. Now, you go back a few words, and Cain talked with Abel. What kind of a talk was it? Was it a nice, amiable talk? Was it a friendly talk? How you doing, Abel? How are your sheep doing? Oh, they're doing fine, Cain. How's the crops? You can have a good crop this year. No, it wasn't that kind of a talk. It was a talk that prompted Cain to slay his brother through a means where blood was shed. Blood was shed. It wasn't just a poison. It wasn't just a hit on the head, but blood was shed. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, such famous words. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, you're my brothers and you're my sisters and I'm your keeper. You're my keeper. You help me, I help you. We're to keep each other. We're to help each other as the body helps the other parts of the body. And he said, what hast thou done? This is God saying, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her thy strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Oh, what a countenance dropping there. What a heartbreak to Cain, for he loved the ground. He loved the things that came from the ground. He was so proud of his crops. And Cain said unto the Lord, oh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, Cain, did you think of that when you smashed down your brother? Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Oh, poor Cain. So heartbroken. Not because of what he did, but because of the punishment that was upon him. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Consequences have come, Cain. Now, after the offerings presented to God by the two sons, we do not know the state of Abel, who had received the respect of God, but we do know the state of Cain, who had not received the respect, for Cain was angry. As they talked in the field, was Abel asking of Cain the same questions that God had asked him? Was Abel of a humble spirit, trying to encourage his brother to obey God and bring the proper sacrifice? Or was Abel basking in the notice from God and making the situation worse than it could have been if he had been a humble before his brother? We don't know. We don't know what caused this to happen in the field. But we do not know the circumstances, for all we know is that in the process of time, when they were both together in the field where crops had been grown, where sheep had been shepherded, Abel met his death at the hand of his brother. You know, it just seems like daily you read of siblings or mothers and fathers killing their children. Oh, it's so evil, but it so happens so often. And here it happened in the field where Abel met his death at the hand of his brother. You know, the serpent had said to Adam and Eve in the garden, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And now we see the fruit of that decision, for their own son Abel was the victim of murder, and their own son Cain was now the first murderer. Aren't you glad that you have the scriptures as a young person to know better and to know truth? You know, there are children and young people walking this country daily, disheveled, uncared for, not knowing a thing about the truth, and they're going down the way of Cain. They're going down the way of Cain because they don't have the Bible, they don't have the truth, they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a tragedy it is. So we see the fruit of that decision. And at this terrible event, again, God responds with a question. Instead of asking, "Where art thou?" as he did of Adam and Eve, he now asks of Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" You know, he asked that question for Cain to think of the scene that he just left, the scene where he murdered his brother, his own brother, because of pride, because of the lack of respect of God, of his offering. But God knows exactly where Abel is, for he has heard Abel's blood crying to him from the ground, for even blood has a voice that speaks to its maker. Oh, that blood cried out, "Father, Father, I've been taken from the body of Abel and now lie on the ground." And Cain is now a murderer. And to this question, he responds as a petulant child. Don't raise a petulant child. You don't want to be around a petulant child. But Cain spoke as a petulant child. Imagine the evil heart that speaks to God in that manner. Oh, the world speaks to God in that manner. Petulant, condescending, patronizing, high and mighty. And to this add the new description of this first son, now a liar. Now a liar. For he, knowing full well that his brother no longer lives, and lies dead in his own field, says, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I know. Why should I know? Who cares? Whatever. Am I my brother's keeper? So lying not only enters the picture, but disrespect of Cain's creator comes in. Oh, how the world disrespects God as they search for God through technology and searching, 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 and you can't find God by searching. Only God finds you. So Cain's offering was not respected, and therefore God will not be respected. So Cain returns God's questions with an impudent question, sarcastic in its tone. Am I a keeper of your favorite? That was the tone that Cain had. Am I a keeper of your favorite? Just a servant of the one you prefer? Am I a shepherd of the shepherd? But God responds again with the question, aimed so that Cain think of what has taken place. God, in saying, thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, is telling Cain that justice must be executed, for blood has been shed, and therefore justice demands its consequences, for this is an absolute with God. You know, God is just. God is just. You know, he could have overlooked sin and saved the death and bloodshedding of his son, but God is just. It's absolute with God. And in Adam and Eve's case, the ground was cursed. But in Cain's case, he is cursed from the earth. For the earth is now the recipient of his brother's blood, a task never before required of the earth. No blood had been shed from man on the earth, and now the earth has this new task. Cain, before this, took much joy from the earth, and the earth reciprocated. Remember how proud he was to bring the offering to God. It was the best of the best. But from now on, he is cursed from the earth and will no longer have reward from its bounty. The soil had received his brother's blood, so now the soil withdraws its full strength and fruitfulness from Cain. This is justice. This is the justice of God. And Cain also is banished from its production and declared to be a wanderer who will eke out a living in the less fruitful parts of the earth. He's banished to the places of aridness and soil that does not give. You know, Adam and Eve had been banished from the garden, but banished to a lesser fruitful and productive place. But now justice demands the banishment be further extended to Cain, for the soil which now is tasked with holding Abel's blood no longer will provide fruit to Cain. It says, no, you spilt your brother's blood in my soil, I will not give you bounty. And along with this banishment, which Cain says is greater than he could bear, includes removal from the presence of God. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of all of that, but there was a presence of God that was apparent in that place that Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were. But now he is to be removed even from that. You know, sin moves you away from God. The more sin, the further you get. The more sin, the further you get. And that's what's explained here. It includes removal and the fellowship of his father and his mother, and abandoned to a life of wandering and uncertainty. So Adam and Eve lost their son Abel to murder, and now their son Cain to God's judgment. Tears flowed. Wouldn't you have tears when your son murdered your other son, and now your son is lost and gone? And sin is taking its toll, for the toll booth of sin never closes. You always have to pay the toll. You know, you always have to pay the toll. But we also see here no repentance from Cain, for he is only concerned about his punishment, a punishment that he thinks is much too great. You know, children are like that. They're concerned about the punishment, but they're not concerned about the obedience. Make sure that they know why they're getting punished, because of disobedience. Make sure of that. But they'll always think about their punishment. So God again shows grace, and he establishes a great cost on the shedding of Cain's blood by placing upon Cain his mark of protection. We don't know what kind of mark that was, but it was obvious to others that this man was under God's protection, maybe visible or known to all in some way, but was to keep Cain from being physically harmed while he was a stranger and a vagabond. It was not a guarantee of his safety. There was nothing to prevent someone from harming him, but it only promised a sevenfold worse outcome for those who harmed him. God marked Cain, and in the book of Revelation, we learn that God marks his own. You know, you're going to get a mark also from God. And also know that the Antichrist marks his people with a sign on their forehead and hand. We're marked individuals if we're in the family of God. These marks indicate ownership and protection. And in a way, this was true with Cain's mark. There was kind of a protection over Cain because of this mark. So Cain again, most likely with a fallen countenance, he had that habit, you know. That's another habit that you don't want to raise your children with. You know, they get that fallen countenance. You better deal with that also. You know, deal with that. Don't allow that pouty lip, because all that is an act of rebellion on their part for what you're doing. So most likely, Cain departs to a life of wandering. We'll read that in Genesis 4, 16 through 24. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael. I want you to memorize these names, by the way. I'm going to give a test afterwards. And Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. So Lamech had wives A to Z. I wonder if that's some sort of a clue that there may be more wives than two. But anyway, he starts out with A and ends up with Z. And Ada bare Jabal. Anyway, she bare him. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. So he was the first cowboy. He raised cattle and rode the horses, I'm sure. And his brother's name was Jubal. Now, Jubal was probably the beginning of Jubilee. It has to do with Jubilee. And he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. So the musicians enter into this, and there must have been probably the desire for contemporary services in those days too. But maybe they played nice music, who knows. But remember, they were the house of Cain. So you got to think, a little bit suspicious here. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. That's what we do in our homes, don't we? Hear my voice, ye wife of Lamech. Listen here. I got this under control. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So this last phrase indicates something about Lamech being in the line of Cain, still walking in the way of Cain. You know, and also you see the description of technology that's taking place here. The rise of technology, the rise of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. The rise of the search for knowledge. That's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brought to man, the search for knowledge, and within that, the search for God. But you can't find God within that knowledge search. We'll stop there and continue next week. Father, we are so thankful that we have the Word of God. We're thankful for this book of beginnings because it shows the seed that was planted and the plant that resulted from those seeds. And it's still growing all over the world as the world rejects truth. Help us, Father, to be believers of truth, to be believers of the holy and matchless Word of God, that we might walk in the way of Abel, the way of Adam and Eve, the way of righteousness and truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.